This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Queen delivers the teaching entitled, Dare to Lead Your Kids. This is the fourth message in the series, Double Dog Dare. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Welcome to 12 Stone in week four of our series, Double Dog Dare, where we realize that oftentimes when we're dared in life, it's usually to do something stupid. But in this series, we're encouraging you, we're daring you to do some really smart things when it comes to some of the most important areas in our lives, like marriage and like emotional health and like fitness. And today we're going to talk about parenting. Now, I know firsthand the power of a dare. In fact, one of my favorite stories to tell is about a dare I received when I was a senior in high school, graduated in 1995 from Central Gwinnett. And it was right around graduation time that I went to the mailbox, opened up the mailbox, and I got an invitation. To the Scholastic Awards ceremony, which came as a surprise to me because I didn't have the most impressive academic career. I had a 2.68 GPA. And so when I went and saw that invitation, showed it to my parents, they were excited. They were thrilled, right? And so they invited my grandparents, invited the whole family to this ceremony, and when we walked in, I had my entourage with me. I walked in and I looked, and I was surrounded by 100 of the smartest people in my graduating class, and I didn't know any of them. They weren't in any of my classes, right? And their families were there, and I remember sitting down, and one by one, they got up and they received their awards. They got their tassels, and they got their, you know, their pins, and they got their cords. And I'm looking around, and I'm realizing somebody made a bad mistake. One of these things is not like the other. I shouldn't be here. I'm thinking my parents have come to see me sit through an entire award ceremony and leave empty-handed. And I was humiliated. And then Dr. Buck Buchanan, our principal, got up and he said, we have one last award to give. It's called the I Dare You Award. And this award goes to somebody in this room who has great potential. This award goes to somebody in this room who's not living up to their potential. This award goes to somebody in this room who we believe that you have more to offer than what you're currently demonstrating. It was at that moment my prayer life began. I had to pray, please don't say Kevin Queen, please don't say Kevin Queen, please don't say Kevin Queen. God did not answer my prayer because the principal held up this book and he said, the I Dare You Award goes to Kevin Queen. And my heart just sunk. And I remember I got up and it was the strangest clap I'd ever heard in my life. It was like people were wondering, how do you clap for the Underachiever Award? I don't know. What do you do? I walked up to the platform and I got this book from the principal. I went and I sat back down and the car ride home was awkward. It was silent. I mean, what are they supposed to say? Kevin, we are so proud of all that you haven't accomplished. I mean, it was just. Got home and I went up to my room and I sat on my bed and I had this book in my hands. And I opened up the book and first page of the book, he says, I dare you to read this book before you go to bed tonight. I think essentially what he's saying is, I know if you got this book, you probably haven't read a book cover to cover in your life. So let's start tonight. And I went through and I read this book that night. And it was a defining moment for me what happened in that experience because it was that night that I discovered something, that I realized something, that I came face to face with the reality that I have potential. But even more so, I realized that unused potential is wasted potential. I didn't want to be at the end of my life and be 90 years old and be in a nursing home somewhere and have the people gather around me and put their hand on my shoulder and say, Kevin, we've been talking, we've been watching you, and we really think you have potential. If you're 90 in a nursing home and people tell you you have potential, you've wasted it. See, unused potential is wasted potential. And each one of us have potential. And so I want you to hold on to that word because we're going to come back to that word. But I think oftentimes it's easier to see potential in the next generation than it is to see it in the mirror. I remember when I held our firstborn, Raleigh, when she was born 12 years ago. I remember holding her and just dreaming for the potential that was there in this tiny little human being that I was holding in my hands. First thing I did was I counted her fingers and toes. She was good there. And then I started taking pictures. Have you noticed with the firstborn, you take like one picture every 10 minutes? With the lastborn, you take like one picture every 10 years. Have you noticed that? And I began to just dream. And I'm telling you, my heart was filled with love, irrational love that I'd never felt before. But at the same time, I felt a sense of responsibility that I'd never felt before, to love and to care for and to provide and to protect this little gift. Children are a gift. In fact, Scripture tells us in Psalm 127:3, it says, children are a gift from God. Expensive little gifts, but they're gifts nonetheless. And my wife and I, we have four gifts. I'll show you a picture of our family. It's my wife, Ree, and then our four children, Raleigh, Camden, Durham, and Bolton. Now, the only person that I got to choose in that picture is Ree. Best choice I've ever made. You don't get to choose your children. But I want them to believe that I would choose them, because I would. And so we started this ritual, bedtime ritual, when they were young. I'd say, you know what, if I could line up all the little kids your age in the world, millions of kids in line, and I could pick just one, you know who I'd pick? I'd pick you. And we have another ritual that we do where I'll look at my kids and I'll say, I don't love you this much, and I don't love you this much, and I don't love you this much, and I don't love you this much, I don't love you this much, and I don't love you this much. I love you this much. And they'll say it back to me. See, those rituals, because I want them to know that I would choose them, and I want them to know that they are loved. And we were together the other night, it's about a month ago, we were down in the basement, and we were watching videos. I had this surreal moment as we were watching videos of when I was a kid, home videos of when I was a kid, and I'm watching it with them, and they're making fun of me, and I gave them plenty of material to make fun of. And we were laughing together, and then my heart was just filled with a sense of just how much kindness that I received as a child. I mean, between holidays and birthday parties and football and chorus concert, between all the things that laundry and boundaries and conversations, the kindness that I received. And then I had this sense, I was like, you know what? I wonder what my kids will think when they watch our home videos with their kids. My family was not perfect. My parents aren't perfect. And my family got messy at times. I'm telling you, I've learned so much from a mom and dad when it comes to love and to responsibility and to faith and to family. And I realized, as working on this message, realized that I have never sat down with my parents and had a conversation about parenting. I've never formally interviewed them about parenting. So I thought it'd be fun for us to do. And so I'm excited to share with you the interview that I got to do this week with my mom and dad. Check it out. Well, Mom, Dad, we're going to have some fun and talk about parenting. So out of your three children, who's your favorite?
Well, that's a bit of a loaded question, but you're our favorite oldest son.
I'm the favorite oldest, okay. Well, good. Was I the most difficult?
Difficult.
Yes.
All right. Well, sometimes kids can be a challenge. Or what's some of the most difficult parenting moments that you can remember?
Well, I would have to say when I got a call from the Gwinnett County Police that you've been arrested.
Okay.
And having to deal with that.
Moving on to the next question.
Oh, but there's so much more.
Sometimes as parents, we feel like we fail, and sometimes we drop the ball. How did you deal with those times when you felt like you had failed?
What did I do? Shopped.
Yeah.
Retail therapy.
Yes. Yeah.
She went shopping.
I went shopping. Yeah. I had some really good friends that we prayed together. And I remember saying I'm sorry a lot. And because I did mess up a lot. And I did mishandle things. And I remember telling y'all that I was sorry. And I'm thankful that God gives us do-overs, and He doesn't give up on us, and we can trust Him to use those things that maybe we didn't get right. And so He came through big time a lot for us.
Dad, you are type A, you're driven, hard worker. Worked construction when I was a kid, worked a lot of nights, busy schedule. How did you manage the tension between being provider and being present in our lives.
Well, Kevin, it really is not easy at all. You're right. I'm kind of a type A personality. However, the getting to work in the mornings before everybody got there and leaving when everybody left was part of what I had to do. But I made an intentional effort to be home for you, your activities, the ones that you were involved in, the ones that Christy were involved in, and the ones that Casey were involved in. And it was difficult. Did I make them all? No, I didn't make them all. But I tried to be intentional about being at as many as I could so I could show support. But it's difficult. It's difficult.
And I don't remember you not being at anything.
So, there you go.
So I guess God's grace covers and fills the gaps. Mom, how did you deal with that tension?
I went shopping. How did I deal with that? Well, I could be mad and frustrated, and I realized that my opportunity there was to speak into it that how grateful we were to have a godly dad who wanted to provide for us and who worked really hard. And I saw that when he was home, he was fully home. There was a lot of laughing and a lot of
dancing
and having fun together, taking those moments before bedtime to be together and to listen to each other. And he put a lot of effort into making that happen.
We got parents who are listening who are in the middle of that chaos right now. I mean, what would you say to parents who are just overwhelmed right now with the season that they're in, with the parenting that they're experiencing?
I'd say stay the course. Mm-hmm. I mean, be strong. Keep God first and foremost in all things. Be an intentional parent. Be involved in your children's lives in a major way. And it's tough. And there are tough times, but those tough times, the good times definitely overshadow the tough times. Mm-hmm. And there's a gold ring down the road.
Meaning they'll get married and move on.
That's right. That's right. That's what I was hinting at.
Mom, what would you say? Overwhelmed parents.
I think sometimes I would forget to laugh and to enjoy the Lord together. Again, that he's cheering us on. I think sometimes we can get so down and out that we lose that perspective of that he is for us and he is working that out. And to take a deep breath and just to know this time is so fleeting. I can remember a lady specifically in the grocery store when I had all of y'all in the buggy going through saying, "You better enjoy this. It's going to go by so fast." Yeah, I'm thinking, "Oh, no, it's not." But it is the truth when we can take a step back and say, "Lord, let me love fully and laugh fully and engage and enjoy these times with my children so that they can look back and they can enjoy and think back in the on those times of being at home with us."
Thank you. Thank you for the parents that you've been. And thank you for what you've shared with other moms and dads to help them. Thank you for all that you haven't shared.
Oh, I've got my notes. Okay. Later. Another message. Later.
Kids are grown, gone, empty nesters. How do you feel about that?
So if you're an empty nester in the house, just go ahead and give a high five. Just high five, celebrate. Now, I've had great coaches and great teachers and great pastors and great mentors, great people along the way, but there is no one who's had a greater influence in my life than my parents, which leads us to our dare today. Our dare is the dare to lead your kids. I dare you to lead your kids, because here's the truth that's undergirding everything that we're talking about. If you're taking notes, here's the truth we're working from. Remember the word potential. As a parent, you have the greatest potential to influence your child. As a parent, you have the greatest potential to influence your child. When it comes to faith, and when it comes to character, and when it comes to self-esteem, when it comes to value, no one else has the potential to influence your child like you.
Now, sometimes it doesn't feel like we have the potential to influence. Sometimes it feels like we have the potential to take a nap, doesn't it? Because being a parent's hard work. Bedtime in itself helps reveal just how incapable we can be of taking care of another human being. I mean, it is hard work being a parent. Whether you're in a nuclear family or a blended family, or especially if you're in a single parent family or a foster situation. Being a parent is hard work. And sometimes we forget that we have the potential influence. Sometimes we forget we have potential influence because it doesn't feel like we have influence. It feels like we're an ATM. It feels like we're an Uber driver that doesn't get paid. It feels like we're an activities coordinator. But here's the problem. When we forget that we have the potential to influence, we can forfeit our potential to influence because we have a limited window of time where our greatest influence is. Reggie Joyner years ago taught on something, using an illustration I think reveals this so well. He taught about a jar of marbles, and he said, there's a jar of marbles, and if you fill it up with 936 marbles, each one of those marbles represent a weekend that you have with your child. It represents a Saturday that you have with your child before they graduate. You have 936 weekends. But then when your child starts elementary school, when they go into kindergarten, you have 676 Saturdays with them. And then when your child goes into middle school, in sixth grade, you have 364 Saturdays to spend together. And when your child starts high school, when they begin ninth grade, you have 208 Saturdays left. He taught about this, and basically parenting is the journey of losing your marbles. But the big idea behind this is that when you see how much time you have left, you tend to do more with the time you have now. Now, this can be the most depressing thing that you've ever seen, or this can help dare you to parent with wisdom. With the ancient wisdom that we find in Psalms. Let me show you a scripture. Psalm 90:12, it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Listen, when you know that your days are counting down, you tend to want to make your days count. And when you know that the time that you have of your greatest influence is limited, your greatest potential influence is limited, you want to maximize that time. When you know time is counting down, you want to make your time count. This is why, if you've ever watched the Atlanta Falcons play football, you know they play their best football in the last 2 minutes of the game. Now, I didn't say that the Falcons play the best football. I just said they play their best football in the last 2 minutes of the game. Why? Because their focus is narrowed, because they bring energy and passion that they didn't have before, and because they're clear on what the goal is, on what the mission is. And as we realize as parents, our potential, our greatest potential for influence is limited. When we know the time is counting down, we want to make that time count. So what I want to do in the rest of our time together is I want to give you a leadership lesson. It's a leadership lesson that will apply to all of life, but especially to parents. And I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to teach from an acronym, LEAD, LEAD. I'm going to teach from an acronym because I want it to be memorable. I want you to be able to take it with you because when we're losing our marbles, we need all the help we can get, right? So if you're taking notes, the L is for, if you're filling in the blanks, the L is for love unconditionally. Love unconditionally. Dan Allender, who is a psychologist, child psychologist, he said, when every child is born into this world, there are two fundamental questions that are at the heart of every child. The first one is, am I loved? And the second question that every child is asking is, can I get my own way every time? He said, as a parent, it's your job to remove any doubt that is lingering in a child's mind about those two questions. One, yes, you are loved. Two, no, you cannot have everything you want anytime. Every time. It's our job to remove the doubt that lingers. It's our job to love unconditionally. And this is why it is so essential that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's so essential. We're talking about unconditional love for you to be made right with God, to walk with God, to know His love, to have His love for you, to have your life centered on Jesus. Because when it comes to unconditional love, you can't give what you don't have. And if you haven't received unconditional love from God, you can't give unconditional love to others. Because we live in a world of conditional love that says if you're smart enough, If you act right, if you talk right, if you look right, if you're pretty enough, if you're talented enough, if you're good enough, if you help me, if you serve me, if you love me, then I'll love you. And God's love is not conditional. God's love is unconditional. He doesn't broker his love for what he can get. He lavishes his love upon us. And the scripture teaches, I want you to see in Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you were at your worst, that's when God saw you worth sending his son for and Christ dying for. At your very worst moment, listen, nothing can separate you from that kind of love. Look at Romans 8. Look at what Romans 8 says, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. The angels won't and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. Listen, the cross is God's way of saying to you, I don't love you this much, and I don't love you this much, and I don't love you this much, and I don't love you this much. I'm going to love you this much. And when you receive unconditional love, then you can give unconditional love. The greatest thing that happened in my life is that when I was a baby, my mom and dad gave their hearts to Jesus because then they could love me with unconditional love. Listen, there are no perfect parents. There are no perfect parents. Perfect parents don't exist. Perfect children don't exist either. Can I get an amen? There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect children. But it's like when I was teaching Raleigh to ride a bike, my oldest. I remember teaching her to ride a bike, and I remember my job in this is to let her go and then to help her up because I knew she was going to fall. And so I was holding on to the seat, and I let her go, and she was white-knuckled, and she was pedaling as fast as she could, and she just said, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. She just cried out. But you know what happened? She fell down. And I went over, and I helped her up and got her back up and taught her how to ride. Listen, as parents, our kids are going to fall. Our kids are going to fail. Our kids are going to sin. But it's our job as parents to love them unconditionally, to help them up, to take the love that God gives to us without condition and to give it to them. The L is for love unconditionally. If you're taking notes, the E is for engage fully. Engage fully. Here's what I mean. Be fully present. Be fully present. See, when you give someone your undivided attention, when you focus on someone, what you're showing them is that you are the most important person to me right now. You matter to me. I value you. That's why I'm giving you my attention. You tracking? See, you give your attention to what you value. See, I value you, so I'm going to put my phone away right now. I also value my job, so I'm going to put my phone away right now. We struggle with this. We struggle with this in our culture. We struggle with this in our world. But I want you to know that when you pay attention, it's the currency of relationships. Because the reason they call it paying attention is because it costs you something. It costs you your time. It costs you your energy. It costs you your agenda. It costs you your emotional energy. To pay attention is costly, but it says, I value you. It reminds me of the time when in Luke chapter 8, Jesus is walking along and he looks at his disciples. He's like, somebody just touched me. Disciples are like, Jesus, there is a huge crowd here. People are pressing in. There are a lot of people who have touched you. He said, somebody touched the hem of my robe, hem of my garment. And he looks around and he says, who was it? And this woman says, it was me. And Jesus stops what he's doing. And he pays attention to this woman. He asks questions and he listens. And there is this miraculous moment, this moment of healing that takes place. A miracle takes place because Jesus stops and he listens and he notices. I have a hard time imagining Jesus walking through the crowd going, but this is my greatest struggle as a parent to be fully engaged. And I think it's because I have the internet in my pocket. I have text messages and I have emails and I have Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I have all of these distractions along the way, but I'm telling you, I found out that they have an app that helps you be a better parent. It's called Power Off.
and how hard it is, how difficult it is to power off. My brother-in-law has a friend who actually downgraded his phone. Everybody else is upgrading. He downgraded from an iPhone to a flip phone because his four-year-old drew a picture of their family at school, and he took careful attention to draw his dad holding his iPhone. It's tension. I was talking with Pastor Kevin about this about 6 months ago, and he said, Kevin, he said, you know how to make an hour count at work. Figure out how to make an hour count at home. And what he's saying is, Kevin, you are fully engaged at work. You give your attention to the person in front of you. You schedule, you plan, you prepare. You meet with people one-on-one. Kevin, figure out how to do that at home. And so I thought, you know what I do? I meet with people one-on-one at work. I'm going to meet with my kids one-on-one at home. And so I went to the kids and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have meetings. I didn't know how this would go. But it's been the most rewarding thing I've done as a parent. And this past season, here's what I've done. I told my kids, I said, you get 15 minutes in the morning. I want you to come downstairs, and I'll meet with you in the study. You need to be already fully prepared for the day when you come downstairs. And so my kids will set their alarm clock for 5:45. I didn't know if this was going to work. Set their alarm clock and come downstairs at 6 o'clock to meet with me. And here's what I do. I shut the door. We're sitting on the floor, no electronics, and I asked this question. I said, with all that you have going on in your world right now, what's the number one thing that we should be talking about? And it's amazing what they tell me. I get to peek into their heart. They just share it with me. I don't give advice. I just ask questions. And what I'm discovering is that my attention matters just as much, maybe more than any advice I could give. I remember the other morning, Durham came down and he was 5 minutes early. My 8-year-old was 5 minutes early. He was fully dressed, belt, shoes, everything, books packed up. He was 5 minutes early to meet with me. And my father's heart just swelled through my chest. I'm thinking, my boy wants to get some hang time with me. Listen, I think that's how God feels when you meet with him. My child wants to meet with me. And listen, when you meet with God, he gives you his undivided attention. He is fully engaged. He's not thinking about yesterday, not thinking about next week. He's thinking about you right now, the maker of the universe. You have his attention. He is fully present with you, fully engaged. And listen, this is a struggle for me, but I'm not content just saying it's a struggle. I'm taking strides. I'm going after it. I'm going to fight this. Listen, because those four kids are going to be sitting on the front row of my funeral. And I don't want, at my funeral, them having memories of their dad looking at his phone. I want them to have memories of eye-to-eye contact and me look at them. I don't want their greatest memories to be. I don't want their greatest memories to be me holding my phone. I want it to be me holding their hand. And I'm telling you, I struggle with this, but I'm going to fight this. Will you fight this with me? Will we fight this together? Because the next generation, they're worth it. Fully engaged. And also affirm frequently. Listen, when you're fully engaged, you see places to affirm. Affirm frequently. Here's what I mean by that. Look for places and ways to bless students or bless your children, bless your kids. Encourage, affirm. I was in student ministry for 10 years, and I never had a student come to me and say, Kevin, can you help me because my mom and dad are affirming me too much. They're just encouraging me way too much. I need to try to figure out how to get them to affirm me less. Never had that. But I had many, many kids and many students who came to me and said, there are words that I'm not hearing, words that I long to hear. Even Jesus needed to hear the Father's approval. When Jesus was baptized, the Father said, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. In other words, you're my boy, and I love you, and I'm proud of you. You know how old Jesus was when he heard that? 30. We all need to hear affirmation and the blessing. If we're parents, our words matter more than that. So affirm your kids. Affirm them publicly and affirm them privately. Affirm who they are to you. Affirm who they are to God. Affirmation is powerful. And we give that affirmation. It etches those words. And so I was watching. They were talking about college athletes and the most powerful words that they received from their parents. And you know what they were? It wasn't great game or you did really well or good hit. What they heard from their parents most that brought the most joy to their heart was the phrase, I love to watch you play. I love to watch you play. I love how John Wooden, who was a legendary coach from UCLA, they asked him, what's the motivational key for you? And look what he says. Motivational key is I try and catch them doing something right. I want to catch them doing something right instead of always picking them apart. Listen, that's something you can do today. You and I can do this today. We can look for something right that we can affirm. That's the power of affirmation. But then there are times as a parent that you have to deal with conflict and that you have to discipline, right? Which leads us to our final way to maximize our potential. If you're taking notes, it's to discipline and dream. Discipline and dream. Discipline is the most difficult thing we do as parents. On one extreme, you have this angry drill sergeant. On the other extreme, you have this passive laissez-faire, anything goes. And both of those will lead to regret. So in the middle, we have this discerning discipline that's an expression of love. This way of saying, listen, I'm not going to be your friend now. I'm going to parent you. I'm going to discipline you to help you become the kind of person that I want to be a friend with down the road. And one of the greatest things we can do for our kids is that we can grow in our skill of discipline. I mean, there are great books, great resources out there. If you want to grow in this, there's the classic Dare to Discipline by James Dobson. Another great book on discipline is Boundaries with Kids from Henry Cloud. There's some great resources out there. It is a gift to your children to grow in your ability, your capacity, and the skill of discipline. And I know if you have preschoolers and you have young kids, it feels like that discipline is all you do. Put that down, pick that up, go upstairs, time out, start the. I mean, discipline, it seems like, is all that you do. That's why it's so important for us as parents to pray for our kids. Because when we pray for our kids, we see their potential rather than their problems. When we pray for our kids, we dream with God about who they could become, about what God wants to do. And it is easy, especially if you have a strong-willed child. Don't point. If you have a strong-willed child, it's so easy to get focused on the problems rather than see the potential. But God will let you in on their potential in prayer. In Joel, he says, when I give my spirit, old men are going to dream dreams and young men will have vision. Listen, it's one generation's dreams that it create enough space for the next generation's vision. Dream with God. I tell you, we dream with God through prayer, and maybe a prayer for you would be, Father, would you help me love my child like you love me? God, would you help me discern and discipline? Would you help me affirm? God, would you help me? Maybe your prayer is just, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. I think that's probably what my mom prayed when she got the call from the Gwinnett County Police. Some of you have been uncomfortable the whole time because you've been wondering, what did he get arrested for? I got arrested for shoplifting 23 years ago. And my parents disciplined me and dream. And I want you to hear, I asked mom, would you share your side of the story? And so here we are 23 years later at great personal risk. I'm going to let you hear from my mom, her side of the story.
I know my side of the story. I know what happened. I know why I was arrested, and I've got that. But I'd love to hear from you. You get a phone call.
I do.
Okay.
April Fool's Day.
So on April 1st, you get a phone call.
I come in from picking Christy up at school, and I listen to the answering machine. And Mom, you need to come pick me up now. I'm at Walmart. If you don't come right now, Mom, the police are coming to get me. And I look at Christy and I go, he is so funny. April Fool's Day. And Christy, in all her wisdom, at what was she, 12 or 13, said, Mom, I don't think he's kidding. And so I listened to it again. I said, I don't think he's kidding either. I'm going to go. So I pull out, and as God's providence would have it, stopped at the light there at the Walmart, ready to turn in. But it's red for me. A police cruiser comes by, and he turns. The light turns green. I follow that police cruiser, staring at the back of my son's head in the back seat of the police cruiser. All the way. We get to the Lawrenceville Police Station. I park. I watch him. He goes in with Kevin, and I just stay in my car. The police officer comes to the car, taps on the window, and I roll down the window. He goes, Miss Queen, are you all right? I go, I am not. Yeah, that was just really a shock moment for me, and I did. And I'm thinking, what is his dad going to say? What in the world? has just happened.
We were thinking the exact same thing. So, Dad, you did something. You made me bag up everything that I'd ever stolen.
Yeah.
And then take it back. But you went with me when I took those things back.
And apologize. Well, it had to be tough on you, I know, but I think it taught you a valuable lesson. Yeah.
Was that tough on you?
I think I was more attuned to you learning a lesson than I was being embarrassed about it. Because I wanted you to learn the life lesson there.
I did have community service.
Yeah. You did.
So how did you, I mean, you got to take me, I lose my driver's license and tell me about community.
Yes, you did. You did. You served time at...
No, you don't have to say it. It's not called serving time. It's called community service.
You did volunteer work, I like to call it, with your servant's heart at the local Goodwill.
All right.
Uh-huh. As your community service. Yeah.
Yeah, because I love people and so I just want to help.
Yes, unload the cars. Yes. Yeah, you like the orange vest. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
Listen, they weren't my friends then. They're my friends now. They weren't my friends then. They were my parents then. And they didn't stop disciplining and they didn't stop dreaming. And if they didn't do both of those things, I don't know that I would be standing here right now with you. Listen, some of you parents, you're in places right now with your child. Maybe you've looked in the back of a police cruiser and you've seen the back of your child's head. Maybe you're in a place where you wonder, is there hope? Listen, you keep praying. You keep dreaming. Continue to discipline. Trust in God. Listen, there are no perfect parents, but we can all be better parents, can't we? How do you do that? Well, you lead your kids. You love them unconditionally. You engage fully. You affirm them frequently, and you continue to discipline and to dream. And for some of you, today, this is your primary dare. This is your double dog dare. This is the one out of the series we're going, I want to grow in my leadership. Let me give you two ways. If this is your double dog dare, if this is your primary dare, I want to give you two ways to grow in your leadership. You're going to be the same parent 5 years from now as you are today, except for two things. The books you read and the people you meet. The books you read. I want to encourage you to pick up a parenting book. Pick up a leadership book that will help you be a better parent. I got some great ones we've already talked about, Dare to Discipline, and there's another one, Parenting Beyond Your Capacity by Reggie Joyner. Great read. Read a parenting book. Second thing, get in a small group. Get with some other parents. The enemy wants you to think you're all alone in your problems and in your struggles, and when you stand in solidarity with others, you find there's great strength. Like my mom said, get into a small group. Have a group of people. We'll pray for you and encourage you. You can get online at 12stone.com/small groups. You'll find that we have small groups about single parenting, small groups about boundaries for kids, small groups for loving your kids on purpose, small groups, smart step family. We have great small group opportunities for you. Get in a group if this is your primary dare. For others, this is your dare. You're just saying, I want to grow in my relationship. There's two ways I'd encourage you. One is get back to praying for your child daily. No one can pray for your kid like you can. The second would be, you said, this is my dare. Schedule some one-on-one time. I know the calendar is busy. I know there's a lot going on. It doesn't have to be a long time, but it needs to be consistent time. Fully engaged with them. There are no perfect parents, but we can all be better parents. And if this is either your dare or your primary dare in this series, if you say, you know what, I'd like to have prayer in this. I'd love to pray for you. Would you just lift up your hand all across the room? If you say, you know what, I need prayer in this. Would you just pray for me? I'm accepting this dare. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you that you have loved us unconditionally. We thank you for Christ Jesus and how you have taught us how to love. And I pray for parents who have lifted their hand. I pray that you'd fill their hearts with unconditional love so that they could love their kids unconditionally. God, I pray that you give them eyes to see, things to affirm,
that they'd be able to catch them doing right so they could affirm that way and that path. And then, God, I pray that you would enable them to give their full engagement. And I pray through undivided attention, God, that you would restore divided relationships. And again, God, I pray that you give discernment for discipline, and then that you give them dreams that are your dreams that would inspire God-shaped vision in the life of their children. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.